First reading this morning is from Amos 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epeth small and the shekel great and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the reading of the Lord.
And our New Testament lesson from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Hear God's word today. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may come welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you the riches, true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and wondrous God, we thank you. We thank you for your word and ask that it would lead us, guide us, and keep us. May your word lift us up and direct us to how we might be your people, how we might serve your kingdom here on earth and build it for the next. Gracious God, hear our prayer. Open our hearts and minds to your word. What do you do with a parable like this? How does this dishonest servant relate to God's kingdom? Now, I'd be lying if I said this was an easy parable to deal with, because it's very, very problematic in the main character, that servant. Now, at one point he gets called shrewd, and that's really a cleaning up of the guy. He's just downright a scoundrel. He goes and he's embezzling from his master. And how does he solve his firing because he's embezzled? Well, he kind of falsifies the records. Oh, and let's look at the tenants of the master, who, As soon as they are presented with an opportunity from this dishonest, this scoundrel of a steward, what do they do? Oh, you're telling me I only have to bring in 50 jars of olive oil? Done. Oh, I only have to do this much? Done. They don't ask, well, did your master say you could do this? They don't ask questions, they take the benefit. So what do we do with this really kind of problematic parable? Well, the hard part is we look at how Jesus fleshes it out more than we look at the parable itself. Because here's the thing, parables are used to teach lessons. And here, it's how hard this poor man works to do dishonest things. Now, let me start out by saying, how many of you read this parable and thought, that dishonest steward, well, that's me? No, nobody? Nobody wants to be the dishonest steward? Okay, how about the dishonest tenants? No? The reality is none of us want to relate to this guy. So automatically it puts us on the wrong foot as we examine what Jesus is trying to say. And he just doesn't do one interpretation out of this parable. He's got four of them for us to digest. So how do you eat an elephant? Well, you don't eat an elephant because they're endangered, but how do you eat a buffalo? One bite at a time, just like you eat a hamburger. So you take one interpretation and it builds. Because Jesus really starts this whole verse and his teaching at verse 8. When the master reflects on this dishonest steward. When the master looks at this man and says, you know what? The children of this age really do work hard. They work hard at being dishonest. And in this master, in this interpretive moment, the master is reflecting at how hard we work at our sins. How hard do we work at them? And yet, how hard do we work at serving God's kingdom? It's a reflection of how hard and where our efforts are in this world or in the world to come. Where is our big effort? Where's our big push? You know, it's like when you're at work and people are working harder at home than in their jobs. Or when you're a coach and your players are working hard at practice, but they're not working hard at a game. Sounds like the Bears and Giants, right? We'll throw the Jets in for good measure. Hey, don't give me that look, Glenn. They're both really bad right now. At least I didn't go after the Yankees and Cubs, because hopefully we'll have to be Boston fans for four games, maybe, against Toronto. The reality is, with all of these pieces and parts, there's this amount of work that needs to be done to build up God's kingdom. And I remember one time when I asked the kids to clean their rooms, and there was a ton of complaining. Oh, I don't want to clean my room. Oh, there's so much work to be done. Was there? Well, eventually there had built up a lot of work, but up front there wasn't. Up front, the effort, if it had been put in the right areas, the right locations, it wouldn't have been much work at all. And that's kind of where we are with God's kingdom. If we're putting the work in the right places, if we're actually putting in the effort for God's kingdom, it's being built up. But instead, we put it in other areas. Now, that's not where Jesus finishes, though, because his next reflection on this parable comes at verse 9, where we're told to make use of dishonest wealth so that we might be welcomed into the eternal homes. If we are using what we have here simply for our own joy and pleasure, how, again, are we serving God? How are we building up the kingdom? How are we helping God? There was a rabbinic saying back then that the rich would help the poor and the poor would help the rich for the world to come. In essence, the rabbis had all said that we are all here together to help one another. We are here to care for one another. The kingdom is being built day in and day out, and we are here to build it up together. And then we get to this third reflection of Jesus and this uncomfortable steward we have to deal with. Trust. Now, here's the hard part for all of us. When we take on jobs at home, we get the work done and we're done, right? When you, say, have a field rat that's eating the eggs in your chicken coop, you smoke him out, get rid of him, and you're done, right? Josh and Olivia are like, no, because then you got to be ready for the next one that comes. And in an essence, that image really works on what God wants us to think about here. Because when we succeed in serving God, when we serve God well, what happens next? More responsibility, more trust, more building. Think about the parable of the talents. What happens there? 5 talents becomes 10. 3 talents becomes 6. 1 talent gets buried in the yard and doesn't get used, and what happens? The more we use what God gives us, the more able we show ourselves to serve God's kingdom, the more God puts on our plate. Many of you will remember this phrase that, boy, God never gives us more than we can handle, right? I just wish God would not trust me so much sometimes. The reality is, God, when we serve and follow God, God knows the efforts we are putting in. God knows what we are doing. And where trust is built with God, trust is continued to be given. And so we build up the kingdom. God gives us more to build. God asks us to build more, to use more. And then we come to the most difficult image in all of these images, because God uses the image of a steward who is his slave. And much as we want to clean it up because of the African slave trade and the Atlantic buying and selling of people, and all of the problematic worries we have, we can't ignore that history existed. You can't. It is terrible, it is horrible. And Jesus is not in this moment approving or disapproving of slavery. He is using the common image of that moment, common image that people would have seen. And what he says is, you cannot serve 2 masters if you're a slave. You only have the one. You only have the one. And when we think about a slave, we think about the role that a slave would have. They don't get paid time off. They don't get any days off. If the master needs you at midnight, you are called by the master at midnight. We cannot take time off as we build God's kingdom. We cannot, and we do not get a chance to be done with a task. We are forever working and serving. And that means we can't serve wealth and our Lord at the same time. We can't serve this world and our Lord at the same time. We're either building the kingdom or we're building whatever kingdom we have here on earth. We've got to really understand that if we are wearing that label of Christian, little Christ, follower of the way, if you want to get really back to the original church, the fact of the matter is, we are his, or we're not. We're either in or we're out. I remember many, many years ago having to schedule a consistory meeting or 2 or 3 in the fall. And I had one consistory member who always looked at me and said, Reverend Bill, I just want you to know, the Bears are on at noon. Okay, Eddie. And? Well, I just need us to get out of that consistory meeting in time for me to get to see the Bears. Whose was his master? Was he the Bears or was he God? It's a hard choice. And I know it sounds somewhat ridiculous that watching a Bears game, and I know it hurts within me to say how bad they are and unwatchable they are. But the reality is, you could serve God or you could watch a ball game. And what was he doing? We had to be out in time to go. The reality is, Jesus wants us, all of us. That's the burden we bear. When we say things and pray things, when we say that we are his church, his people, when we are the sheep of his pasture, that means we don't get time off. You don't get time off when you're riding in the car and somebody cuts you off on the road. When somebody's rude to you, when somebody's shouting at you, you don't get time off as a Christian. Because we are serving him at all times and in all places and in all ways. Now, all of these four seem to be different and separate, but the reality is they're all pulling in the same direction. Jesus doesn't tell these four separately and tell a parable in between. He throws them together because he's talking to us about full time, all time service to God, about the efforts we put in towards serving God, the efforts we put in towards being his people. And so while we might look at this shrewd steward, this villain or scoundrel, if you will, there are even lessons in him. There are even ways in which Jesus can teach us through him. Think about the effort he puts in towards cleaning up his mess. Think about how little effort he put in doing things the right way, in serving his master well right off the bat. Think of all the times in this story in which he acts dishonestly. And think about all the times in which we in our lives don't fully embrace that we are God's people, where we allow the outside parts to own us more than God. When we serve two masters, when we serve other things more than God. The reality is, God's calling us on the carpet. God's asking us to declare, whose are we? Whose are we? Are we the dishonest servants? Fighting to keep our own thing, our own way, our own want? Or are we willing to bend our will, willing to be God's people, willing to serve him? That's the challenge Jesus wants to have in this parable. Whether or not we're willing to wear that label and live that label. Because being Christian, following Christ, should mean something. It should mean that we are his. And we listen to how he calls us to be, how he calls us to love and serve in this world, and how we need to put our efforts, not in the living out this world as best this world wants us, but living how God wants us and serving how God wants us. Brothers and sisters, when you get called to the carpet, you're stuck making an answer. May we actually give him the right one. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us respond from the gifts he has given us.